relative to the age in which we live, that you might be familiar with what God says about this day or hour in which we stand. It's on the Laodicean church age, and of course we'll read from the book of Revelation, the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. Before we read, shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we're very happy to stand here tonight in Thy name, Lord, knowing that we stand with a vindicated word which Your prophet brought us. And we don't worry, Lord, about making any mistakes because we know it's been given to Him through divine revelation. And as we stand with what He taught, we ourselves have no fear, but we'll be exactly right because we have this revelation as our guide. Now we pray, Lord, that You'll give the people ears to hear, even as we pray sincerely You'll give the speaker a mouth to say that which is exactly right. Let Your word be in the mouth, O God, and let it be in the ear. Let it not come by the understanding of man, but by revelation of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we know then that we shall be blessed, we shall have no problems, but all shall be well. And so, Lord, we commend ourselves unto You most heartily, praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning at verse 14, and unto the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea, write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. And because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, and open the door, I'll come to him, and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, the characteristics of this age merit special study because we know that we're living in the very last church age. Now, of course, we know this because of the timepiece that God has given us, which is Israel. And Israel is back in the homeland, preparatory for the consummation of the Gentile dispensation, and God turning back to Israel when He deals with them for a very short period. Now, you'll notice first of all here that it's the seventh age. Now, it's not called the seventh age, but if you'll notice beginning in chapter 2, there's the Ephesian age, verse 1, the Smyrnaean age in verse 8, the Pergamene in 12, the Thyatiran in verse 18. And then, of course, in the third chapter, verse 1, there's the Sardisian, which would be the fifth church age. And then there's the verse 7, the Philadelphian church age, number 6. And then the Laodicean, of course, Laodicean would be the seventh church age. Now, so therefore, chronologically, it's the seventh church age, or the Laodicean church age, that ends the ages of the Gentile church dispensation. Now, it's the last age. There is not another age. It's the last age because no other ages are mentioned, for one thing. And then since God does everything in a seven, this is the last age and there will not be another age. Now, if there were to be another age, then there'd be six more following it. Because God does everything in sevens. Now, to this age is given the final messenger. He said here, under the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea. There is a final messenger to this age, and he's a man. But there is also a final messenger to this age, and it is not a man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because it says in Revelation 10, chapter 1, I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, his face as it were the sun, his feet pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. Now, that little book open was in the hand of the Lamb. But remember, he does not descend as the Lamb. He descends as a pillar of fire. Now, you'll notice it says in verse 6, that this mighty one, which is Jesus, lift up his hand and swore by him that lives forever and ever, which is God, and only God can swear by God, and he said, time is no longer. Now, you remember when God swore by God, it's when he said to thee, Abraham, and in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So that time has run out. So you can see at the end of the Gentile church ages, Jesus Christ descends as a pillar of fire in order to close off the Gentile church ages, which happened to end with this number 7 Laodicean church age. Now, also, you will notice in verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. Now, there's no place in the Bible where a seventh messenger is actually mentioned in conjunction with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and a 7. Never. You'll only find seven angels when it comes to the ministry of a heavenly messenger, of which they're genuine, genuine spiritual and not physical creation. But you start with the first messenger in Ephesus, and then take it on down to the other 5 and 6. You'll find that there's only 1 7th messenger, 1 6th messenger, 1 5th, 1 4th, 1 3, 2, and so on, and they correspond with the ages. You know, as we mentioned here, the Ephesian age and the Sardisian age and Smyrnaean and Philadelphian and so on. So it is given a final messenger. And then that means there won't be any more messengers. Now, of course, I'm saying this on purpose because many people just don't understand this. And they think they believe this message. And I suppose they do believe it as far as they're able to do so. But they do it with great error because then later on they think there's somebody else they got to listen to. Well, now, believe me, that's wrong. If there's going to be another messenger, then there's got to be 6 more. Because everything God does is in a 7. Everything. And then a sums up conclusion. So there isn't another messenger, regardless of how people think. Some people say, well, I don't even like to hear taste because that's dead manna. Now, that's the most stupid thing in all the world. Otherwise, why don't you throw your Bibles in the gutter? Because that's dead too. The men that wrote it are all dead. They're all gone. To listen to the message or to read the message that the 7th church age messenger left with us, to not read it or not listen would be utter nonsense. And you'd be losing much that God has for you. In fact, this 7th church age messenger told us that he would die. And then everything was already gainfully stored up for us on tapes, which were to be our food. Even as the book of Joel said, I have given you this food for righteousness. And you'll find that's under the ministry of restoration, as spoken by Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. Now, notice also, it is given not only given a final messenger, but it is given a final revelation of God. Every single church age starts with a revelation of God. Look at that first church age in Ephesians, the Ephesian church age, chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the messenger, which is in the church of Ephesus, write these, write. These things said he that holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. And then in verse 8, these things said the first and last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 12, these things said he, which hath the sharp sword and the 2 edges. Verse 18, these things said the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire. Chapter 3 and verse 1 and so on. Every single age starts with the revelation of Almighty God. In other words, God himself reveals himself to the messenger of the age. Now, you know that's true. Over here in the book of Galatians, you have the Apostle Paul saying the very same thing. Verse 11 of chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it by man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ himself was revealed to Paul. And remember his introduction to Paul. Came as a blinding pillar of light, a fire. And he blinded Saul at that time, called Saul. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Every single church age, you will find a messenger with a dynamic revelation of Jesus Christ himself. And this revelation, a personal revelation of God to the messenger, the Son of Man, in every age, sets that man on fire for God. And then God gives him a message for that age. And so you'll notice that the final revelation comes in the third chapter in verse 14. And these things that the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, remember, if there's a beginning of the creation of God, there's got to be an ending of it. And you know that as well as I do. What is the beginning of the creation of God? Jesus is the beginning when God made himself human flesh. When God formed himself into human flesh. Now, remember, the end comes when the first resurrection is completed. When all the righteous dead of the Old Testament and all the righteous of the New Testament rise out of their graves. Now, already we've had some of them risen, and they're up there around the throne of glory. That's where John saw those living elders up there. And they're human beings. They're glorified already. But now, out of the ground comes all the rest. The dispensation to Israel is completely finished. Israel has had its first resurrection. And then now remains the church. So then, if it's the beginning of the creation of God, and he's the Amen, then it's the ending of the creation of God. And as he was the first begotten from among the dead, now all the other begotten of God come out of the ground, and they're no longer dead, and so it ends the whole picture. See? So, that's the revelation right there. The revelation is that there positively will be an end-time bride stand on this earth that does not taste death, but will be changed in her body to be a part of that glorious membership that comes up out of the ground. Now, to it is not only given a final revelation of God that Jesus is the Christ, that this one, this beginning of the creation of God, was God himself, Elohim, Jehovah, one God, and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only authentic way. But there will be also a message at this end time. And it will be a final message. There won't be any other message. Now you'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you mystery. Verse 51, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. That's this time. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now what is it? At the last trumpet. Now remember, Revelation 10 and 7 said, in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound. There's going to be a trumpet sounding. It's a man bringing a message. At the last trump, there won't be any other. There's only seven messengers, and when that last messenger gives his message, there isn't any more. It's all over for the Gentile church. And it says at that time, the dead are going to be raised incorruptible. So it's a final message. And that final message is responsible for bringing about immortality. That's what the apostle says here, the apostle Paul. He said at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption or incorruptibility, and this mortal immortality. It's at the last message, and there will not be any more. People today think there's going to be another message come forth. I cannot endorse that for 1 minute. The prophet himself said he would not be taken until his ministry was filled. And that ministry is absolutely the trumpet, the word of God. And he said he would not be taken until that was fulfilled. And then he said, when I'm gone, I will not be back. Now, you can put any interpretation on whatever else he said in your own way. But you must remember, it's got to absolutely line up with Scripture and what the Bible says. And that's where you get all of your understanding. See, now, there is this final message, and there will not be any more. Because why? The bride will put on incorruptibility, and she'll go to meet the Lord. The next labor is in the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, as it says over there in Revelation, the third chapter, in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame, and have sat down in his throne. That's the last thing you see about the bride. She'll be sitting in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. Now, you'll notice also, it's this age is called Laodicea. And the word Laodicea is very special interest. It means in the Greek, the rights of the people. People's rights or human rights. And there never was a time like this for human rights. Now listen, pardon me, everything is a carryover. And remember, under the Wesleyan age of Philadelphia, men began to rise up to claim their rights. Now, I know people say it went back to the Magna Carta, but I think 1066 under King John and things like that, that's true. Men have always looked for their rights. But there never was a time when it was widespread until in the sixth church age, it began coming into labor movements and people organizing not against their oppressors who were kings and noblemen and men of great report and repute, but now they're rising to join hands in order to come against those who hire them. But in this age, you really have the unions, because before the government did not protect the union. But today the government is elected by people, democracy. And remember, democracy is based upon people's rights, the right of the people to elect. We don't believe anymore in God giving divine guidance to raise up a king and put over us, or a certain man that's born in a certain way. We say, no, we have our rights. And our rights are based and founded in democracy. And we will vote and elect whomever we want, and we'll put those people over us, and they will do what we want them to do. Human rights, see? And what happened? In 1968, they dedicated it Human Rights Year, showing that we are absolutely in Laodicea. Now, let's just take a look at this thing called human rights, shall we? We go to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Let's read a little bit, beginning at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap teachers to themselves, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ear from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It says at the end time, people are going to want to run the church. It'll no longer be a church that is headed by Christ and a faithful ministry, but it'll be run by the people. Now remember, until this time, the church is run by a hierarchy, and that's wrong. Remember, in the first days, Nicolaitanism began to rear its head until the seventh church age. And in the seventh church age, Laodiceanism, or people's rights, or democracy within the church raises its head. So now you've got two things. You've got the hierarchy wants to remain in power, and you've got the people who want a certain thing done for them. So the people say, all right, you can be our heads as long as you will do what we want you to do. And that's why you've got such a mess today in the church and in the world. See, because the people don't know. They can't govern themselves. It wasn't meant that they govern themselves. The government in the church is by the ordained pastor. He is the sole authority within the local congregation. And the rest of the fivefold ministry, they come by and they visit according to God's will and purpose in order to build the flock up and to help them to know those things which the pastor does not have time or the ability to bring to the people. But he is that authority. And there is nobody over any local assembly in any place whatsoever in this world, or it's Nicolaitanism, which is of the devil, because God hates Nicolaitanism. And how in the world can you believe an organization when somebody would put an authority over you and you've got to do the way that man says or get out? Why, you're just as much in league with the devil as his own archangels are, and don't even know it. You're in league with the whole plot of God, the whole plot of the devil against God, just like Eve. Eve did not know when she listened to the anti-word of the devil that she became a part of the whole plot against God, her maker. And you let anybody that's either Nicolaitan or Laodicean raise his head, and he's just as much a part of the plot of the devil as anybody can be. You have got to get away from that. Absolutely get away from it. People's rights. What rights do people have anyway? You show me one right that any member in the pew has got. Then you show me any right that any pastor or the fivefold ministry has got. They don't have one right. The authority is the Word of God. Right. The Bible said, obey those that have the rule over you who teach you the Word of God. I have no authority in this church whatsoever, but when you know I'm preaching you the exact Word of God, you have to obey that, whether you have any use for me at all. Amen. I ask for no respect whatsoever. I demand none. I care for none. But when it comes to this Word, it's incumbent upon you to listen as long as I teach this Word and show exactly what this Word is, and you can apprehend it, then that is the authority of Almighty God in our midst. Amen. Not a man. No, sir. And I have no man telling me what to preach. No, sir. And I have no man of authority over me to tell me where to go. There's only one authority, and that is by the Holy Ghost telling us when to come and when to go and what to do. And listen, and whenever we do it, it has to be according to the Word.
Amen.
Now, where's your women preachers? They're told to stay home, aren't they? They are told to stay home and obey their husband and be keeper of the house. But they run around the country here with healing meetings and preaching. And one woman had the nerve. Not long ago up in Toronto, Canada. She's an American. She's not a Canadian. Thank God I'm a Canadian myself. But thank God we haven't done that much dirt toward God yet. That's right. She goes up there and she says that the reason she's preaching and doesn't even want to preach is because everybody else failed. What unmitigated gall! What satanic delusion! To stand up in that pulpit and preach when God says no woman dare open her mouth. No woman dare cut her hair. And she even, your Pentecostal church is so called, and your Lutheran, your Catholic, and all the rest, women pray to God. The Bible said they don't even dare pray to God if their hair has been cut with a scissor. Challenge it. Show me where I'm off the Word of God.
Amen.
Here's the Bible. I'll let any man stand up. I'll even, not a woman. So you're hitting women. I'm not. I'm hitting nobody. Woman can't stand up in the congregation. Let any man show me I'm wrong. Can't do it. It's absolutely the Word of God, and it'll stand. We're going to be judged by that Word. I don't have any authority. Not one bit of authority. But that Word has the authority, because that Word is Christ. Said the Word became flesh. And I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, that Word became flesh for one reason. In order for our flesh to become Word, turn down that Word, and your flesh will never become Word. Amen. You'll never be in the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching love. You may not think it's love, but I am. This is, if I wasn't preaching love, I'd just go home. I know it doesn't sound like love because I can get up here and really talk strong. But I don't believe in that perverted sentimentality. This bunch of nonsense. They preach over pulpits that finally let women go preaching, leave their homes. I've seen women even leave their husbands claiming it's God to go preaching. How can they defile themselves that way and then people tolerate them? You know what they did with harlots? They burned them at the stake. You say, was that woman a harlot? She is a harlot because she is fornicating in creeds and dogmas instead of being married to her Christ in the place where God put her.
Yes, amen.
And the lake of fire is the stake she burned. I'm not fussing women now. It's men too, and the men that listened to her, and the men that ordained her, and the men that allowed her are going to have greater punishment. Laodicea. Just try and preach this word the way it's written and see what happens to you. Huh? If I had every degree under high heaven, spoke with the tongue of men and angels, and dared to preach like I preach tonight, with sweet dulcet tones, with the finest rhetoric, the highest degree of histrionics, and presented myself as a great man, and with that voice and that power, they'd kick me out about every church in America just the same. And if I could raise the dead and produce thus saith the Lord every 5 minutes, they couldn't wait for my back to turn to knife me. Why? Because this is the age in which we live. That's right. The age in which we live. Human rights. I can do what I want. And don't think the Roman Catholics who have been held in the whiplash of power for years haven't risen up. When the Pope spoke out against birth control, which he was right upon, absolutely the Pope was right concerning his dictum on birth control, he was right at least once. You know what they told him? They said, listen, fella, we don't like what you're saying. Now we're going to practice birth control anyway, and it bothers our conscience if you say it's not right. So tell us it's right. So we won't get our conscience bothered because we're going to do it anyway. And that's exactly where they stand today. And the Roman Catholic Church is on the edge of dissolution at this very hour because of the people. You say, will it survive? When hasn't it? Sure it's going to survive. Sure it's going to survive. Absolutely survive. It'll live right here till Jesus comes and he'll destroy it. You don't need to worry about it. Why? Because the two spirits, Nicolaitanism, which is the hierarchy organizing the clergy to subject the people to tyranny, is in there to stay, and at the same time the other spirit is rising up against them, and they got to get together to produce the beast. It's exactly what they're going to do. That's right. Now, let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and see this. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. The translator said it, but not the Bible. God never said sin is the transgression of the law. No, sir, he did not. God said sin is lawlessness. Now, look, there's no such thing as without a law. Everything has a law. I hold this up, drop it, the law of gravity. Throw it up this way, there's a law of energy. Certainly. Nothing's without a law. So therefore, when you say sin is lawlessness, it sounds like there's something that doesn't have a law to it. That's not true. Everything has got a law to it. But what about when you break that law? There's no such thing as breaking a law. Can I break the law of gravity because I do this? I don't break any law of gravity. No, you don't break a law. The minute if you could break a law, you'd destroy it. If I could break the law of gravity, there'd be no more gravity. So what is this lawlessness? Lawlessness is doing contrary to what God wants done with a purpose. Sure, that's what it all boils down to. God wants a certain thing done in a certain way. Man says, nope, I'm going to do it my own way. Man using the things that God's given at this day and using them contrary to Scripture. Using them contrary to the laws that God laid down. There's your lawlessness. See? Men and women, we must recognize this, because if we don't, we are never going to understand the perversion of the two spirits being so close that at the end time, the false prophets will do signs and wonders that are genuine and fool the very people. And they're genuine signs and wonders. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, and see this very same thing. 7 and 12. The mystery of iniquity has already worked. Only he that now hinders will hinder. Should it be taken out of the way. Now notice, the mystery of iniquity was working in Paul's day. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now listen. When did unrighteousness ever deceive anybody? When did it? Only in the Garden of Eden and at the end time. Never will unrighteousness deceive. Except in the beginning and the end. That's right. Because the Bible says in Malachi, the people will not know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. Now that's exactly the word of Almighty God. Read it for yourself in Malachi 3:18 and find it. It says, until the people turn back to God, having turned away from Him. And remember, when the priesthood and the people both turn from God, Nicolaitan and Laodicean, there's an absolute turning from God. Turning from His Word. Now it says turn back to that Word. And it said when you turn back, you'll know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. That's the thing we're talking about tonight. The two spirits are so close, you cannot tell who is actually wicked and who is actually righteous. Amen. Unless God does something for your mind, you're so mixed up. You say, I'm not mixed up, aren't you? I'd like to see you prove otherwise to me. You say, why? Because God said so. You say, then, Brother Bailey, you in that shape? I used to be, but not anymore. Certainly I was in that shape. I didn't know righteousness and wickedness. I was driving me crazy. I was ready to quit preaching. I said, if I can see men down there who have gifts of the Spirit, so-called, and they are genuine gifts, they heal the sick, they've got miracle eyes and miracle arms and miracle limbs, and they got a prayer line, and they absolutely are healing the sick, they've got miracle after miracle, and they're living in sin with women. I'll prove what I'm telling you about. You want to challenge me, put it on a piece of paper. I'll take you right to it. Right in the state of Ohio, I'll take you right to it. You call my bluff, and I'll show you whether you're going to call bluff or not. Not trying to be mean at you. Just trying to let you know I'm not lying to you. men who channelize and take up offerings and introduce their so-called blessing paths, find in the Word of God, I challenge you. If these men needed money, why didn't God give them a wedge of gold 20 miles high and 30 miles wide instead of the Holy Ghost? Amen. When did Christ take up an offering? When did Paul take up an offering?
Amen.
You say, Brother Bill, they gave you one. That's tithes and offerings, not to set the world on fire to give me tools and all. There is no such thing as God sending tools anywhere. Show me in your Bible. Let's see if we're on the Word of God. Let's see if this is a golden calf scheme. Yet those men got genuine gifts. And no man dare deny it because they are genuine. The Bible said, just like Balaam, they will go the way of Balaam, which was a genuine gift of prophecy, but he sold himself for money and prestige to a king. And he led the children of Israel into fornication, and God never did forgive him. Is that right? There's your Bible. How often have I seen widows bilk the money? Sweet little Hungarian widow up there in Toronto. Gave a certain man, now dead, found alcoholic and dead. She sold her house. Gave him every cent she had. One of my best friends used to work out there in that very camp out there west where he had it. They wasted money like it would be water running off a mountain. Brother, sister, listen to me. This day of Nicolaitanism and Laodiceanism is the peak of all rottenness of sin before God that's going to bring the fiery judgment of God upon it. May we flee and get out of it. I have never had much of this world's good, but let me tell you tonight, out of a pure heart, as pure as I know how to make it, I even feel guilty and dirty with a little bit of money that comes into me. At this moment, I don't have a home. I don't even really need... I wouldn't mind having one, but I'm not going to beg and worry about one. You better rest assured on that. If God gives it, that's fine. But I know to lay everything I've ever had in the altar, ready to starve if necessary, and God's take care of me. I prayed and food came in when I put patches on my patches. And never once did I appeal for money. The greatest man of God living since Jesus Christ was William Branham. That's right. History proves it. He never appealed for money at any time. Something's wrong somewhere. Sure, I'd say, I like these things too, but I say, listen, brother, sister, I've got it so good today. You say, how bad did you have it years ago? Well, I'll tell you, when people were earning $100 and $200 a week and $300 and better, my wife and I are trying to live on $45 a week and giving 20% of that. I've been in meetings to help my fellow brethren where I got $33 for 6 weeks, 6 days of meeting, and my hotel bill was $36. That's $2.54 short of the total amount for just my room, plus the food, plus 800 miles both ways by car. Today I don't have any debts. No, not one debt. If I have to buy something, I pay cash or forget. Now, folks, I'm just telling you, God lift me out of that bad place I was in. And I say, for what little I got, sometimes I wonder if God hasn't given me far too much. I tremble at what we have today, considering how dead we are in the spirit. See? No, brother, sister, just because money's plentiful doesn't mean that God's blessing. Let's find out as we study this Laodicean church age a little later, a little more. Now listen. Notice I read here, all deceivableness of unrighteousness. When did unrighteousness ever fool people? Not since the Garden of Eden until this day. Unrighteousness before was men living in sin, robbing banks, defiling themselves with women, marauding, assaulting, killing. But today it's not. It's right in the church. Where you can't tell the difference. Unless somebody comes and lets you know the score. Now, notice it says, for this, notice, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Brother, sister, listen to me. This is an end day message. If the people at the end time do not receive the love of the truth, then this age is devoid of truth. What an age in which we live. But just a minute. If they turn down the truth, then the truth must come in this age. We'll show it does. Now, notice also Laodicea, what is it? It's a woman's name. Women of repute were called Laodicea in the days when this epistle was written. Who is the woman? The woman's the church. The woman always has been the church. Christ and the bride. Christ and the church. As Adam was a figure of Christ, so Eve is a figure of the bride, because she came out of Adam. That's right. That's Bible. Romans 5. You read it for yourself. So it is we have today. The woman is Eve. She's the bride. She's the church. Christ is that head. A woman's name. Prominent women were called Laodicea. They changed their names. When did we start changing our name? Ever since Luther came out of the Roman Catholic Church. We've had Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, Church of God, Church of Christ. All women. All of them women. And remember, the harlot had daughters. And remember, the harlot church is the Roman Catholic Church, and out of her came the organizations. Until that time, there weren't any. You say, what about the Anabaptists? No, they were called that. They were simply Christians themselves, but they were called that. They banded together on the word as they knew it. But today we have regular organizations. They stand for certain creeds and dogmas. Each one purporting to bring the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, God is the most mixed up person I ever knew. Or would hope to know. Because they all say they're speaking for God, yet everyone speaks different. Believe me, brother, sister, if a six of you people spoke for me, and I had written one thing down here, and you did not explain it or reveal it exactly as I intended it, then there wouldn't be one of you speaking for me. Who's speaking for God these days? And you say, are you Baal? No, sir, I'm not. No, sir, I'm not speaking for God. I've got no proof that I speak for God. Unless I stand like Timothy, who stood with Paul, and he said, I teach what Paul taught, and Paul had the revelation. I'll stand with the revelation. As the vindicated prophet God. But these churches today, based upon their creeds and dogmas, we have Miss Baptist, Miss Presbyterian, Miss Methodist, Miss Pentecostal. I'm not against the people, it's the organization. Because God forbade it. He said, the Gentiles seek authority, but so shall it not be named among you.
Amen.
What authority they seek? They sought the authority of lordship, that they may place themselves in a higher position, that men may do their bidding, and then say, I stand in authority. Now when you do my bidding, we're really getting somewhere. How often are you marshaled by people who say, give us the tools, we'll do the job? Say, get your own tools and do your own job. And you folk, get your own tools and do your own job. You think for 1 minute I'd be flattered if you tried to help me do my job? I've got news for you. Sadly and bitterly, over the last 10 years, I have learned the most horrible lesson any man can learn. And that is this, the one that Brother Branham taught, doing God a service apart from His will. Never again will I put any man forward, nor do I want any man putting me forward. It means death and hell. If I could unburden my heart tonight and show you the depth of this understanding as I have it, you would cringe to know what I know about this very subject. No man puts any man forward any more than any man holds any other man down. They're on their own feet before God. And that's where you stand today, and that's where I stand. Let no man try to put me forward, and I'll never put any man forward again. I've learned my lesson. That's right. I'm responsible today. In a second-hand way, yes, a second-hand way before God, for people literally being destroyed from away from this message, because I thought certain men were men of God and put them forward. If they're men of God, let their own gifts make room for them. I've never been put forward to my knowledge, and I never want to be.
Amen.
If I've got something from God, I'll make it, and if I haven't, I'll fall flat.
Yes.
Hierarchy. You don't need my tools, and I don't need yours. Together we need each other in Jesus Christ to serve Him according to the Word, as every man is led by the Spirit of God according to the Word. I've seen many a man say, I'm led of God according to the Spirit, but it wasn't according to the Word, so it's not by the Spirit of God at all. That's right. We stand, my brother, my sister, away from that authority. Now, Laodicea, woman's name, taking authority, the church taking authority over the Word. That's right, taking authority over the Word. It's the harvest age where all comes to a head. This is harvest age. Christ is coming in this age. coming for a Gentile bride. Righteousness comes to a head. Yes, it does. The Eve restored will stand on earth and not die. Walk right to that tree of life. Right. Sin comes to a head. The man of sin, Satan, stands right here incarnated, and the world thinks he's God and worships him. The Word comes to leadership. And the leadership of that Word, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, that Word shall be so perfect that if you dare add one word, you'll get the plagues and go to the tribulation. If you take away one word, your name's out of the book of life. Let me stop right here and show you something, brother, sister. If you add to that word, the revealed word of the end time, you'll go to the tribulation, but you can be saved by giving your life. But if you take away from it, your name goes out of the book of life. That's true. In a man's zeal, he may try to add to the bride of Christ. In a man's zeal, he may add and be wrong and suffer. But don't let him take away from that word, because that word is not only Christ, but that word is the bride, because Christ is that bride many-membered here on earth.
Amen.
Don't try to take a member. Well, I believe Brother Branham, except Brother Vail, I don't see serpent seed. You going to take it away? You going to take it away? Well, I don't think my name will go off the book. You don't? You better talk to God about that. You better talk to God about it. Because God said otherwise. You better know before you leave this building that you can so contact Almighty God without one shadow of a doubt that you can prove to yourself and the world that you know God in such a way by some manifestation that you know that He's denied His word for your sake. Now you say, well, I believe in eternal hell. You're adding to the word. Sure. There's no eternal hell. How can there be? If you've already got eternal life, then you don't need eternal life. You already got it. You just need cleansing. You see, brother, sister, when God wrote that book, He didn't write it for people who become blind. They become aware. And if you need eternal life, and Christ is that eternal life, and He gives us eternal life, then you haven't got it until He gives it to you. Which is He Himself. And if you haven't got eternal life, how can you go to hell and suffer eternally? Even a wayfaring man, though a fool, doesn't need to err there. So therefore, when you think the word says one thing, it doesn't say that at all. It's saying something else. Line it up with where it does fit. You'll watch how God rules on it. So I don't believe in election. You want to take it out? You lose your life. Well, Brother Bill, I believe in restoration. You've added. You've added right there, because all men do not get restored. But you've added. Tribulation's coming up. White throne judgment coming up. You can make it if you're judged according to light and how you acted, but you're not bride. Oh, I know people say, well, that's foolishness. Is it foolishness? If it's foolishness, brother, sister, to quote Revelation 22, 18, 19, then it's foolishness to quote any part of it. Yes, sir, if it's foolishness. If it's tommy rot, then the whole thing is tommy rot. Because a vindicated prophet with Thus Saith the Lord, William Branham, whom I saw and watched for 10 solid years, spent hours and hours with him, saw his ministry day in and day out, never making one mistake, Thus Saith the Lord, never failing. And God said, when that man comes, you hear him, or you're destroyed from among the people. Certainly. Now, you don't have to hear him personally. He's nothing to hear. What is it? It's Christ. As it was with Moses and with Paul. Moses can't save you. Paul can't save you. William Branham can't save you. But listen, the gospel they preach does save you.
Yes, amen.
Which is the word. Which endures. Which cannot fail. If it can't fail, then it's going to bring a harvest, bless God. It's going to bring a harvest of souls. Now, the word comes to headship. The perverted word comes to headship. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they would not receive the love of the truth. Men deluded like Cain. Cain brought an offering. He was worshiping. And the Bible says his work was unrighteous. What was that work? presenting the first fruit offering. Why, he could say, look at God, it's right in your word. It says right here we're to give a first fruit offering. And God said, Cain, you haven't rightly divided. You mishandled, misinterpreted my word. Well, it's right here. It says so. Yeah, there it is. You know, you can take the Bible and argue the Bible all you want. You know that? And do nothing but an unrighteous thing before God. It's when a vindicated man comes along, God's messenger, that you say, yes, yes, yes. You don't argue. You don't reason. You don't think. You just accept it. Why? Because the Bible said when he comes, you listen to him.
Yes,
Show me anybody but William Branham had thus saith the Lord. Oh, you see, I heard people say thus saith the Lord. That's nothing. Anybody can say that. I want them to say it and the thing came to pass and you know it. Let a man stand up here at the ministry like Brother Branham did thousands of times and say, I don't know if he'll come. But we'll see if he does. And he'd say, he's here. Suddenly turning that audience and say, I take every spirit in this building into captivity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of Almighty God. And there wasn't one person from that minute could hide. Not one person. Then say, thus saith the Lord. Never one failure. He had a ministry. I want to see somebody do it just once. Not even hundreds of times. Because the Bible said all it takes is once. When that man comes with thus saith the Lord, you hear him and you fear him. Now what's he going to bring you? The word. The revealed word of the hour. Perverted word comes to a headship. Like the Pharisees, they saw this man of God and turned him down. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6, they were crucified to themselves, the Son of God afresh, putting him to an open shame. Now, you can see this by the seed that was sown in the garden that brings us our harvest. You know, folk, before you get a harvest, you got to sow a seed. You know we're in harvest time? Isn't it strange this doesn't really hit our minds the way it should? Brother, sister, do you realize what started 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden is coming to a close? 6,000 years of history are ending in this era, this age, right today. And men screaming for money. You ought to be screaming to God for mercy. Screaming to God because of the sin of this country. And yet they can go to California that the voice of God condemned. Men who claim they're full of the Holy Ghost walk out there and say, the town is full of wonderful people, and that hypocrite William Branham that dare say those things, God has judged him and destroyed him. You think they're not saying it? You haven't been around, honey, that's all. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Not one, but many. There's one man that claims he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he said, well, he said, I'm glad to hear that false prophet got killed. Yeah. Or as one great man in the great assembly said, he's got nothing but a false spirit, a familiar spirit of divination. Smarten up, brother, sister. Somebody hasn't got the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't fight the Holy Ghost. And the Word doesn't fight the Word. And God is not divided. Sure. I can't prove anything. Never said I could. I stand with the prophet. He was vindicated. I can say what he said, preach the way he preached. That is, preach what he preached. I'm on good ground. I got no fear. I won't add to or take from. No problem there. No siree. No. All I got to do is preach what he preached. I wish I could preach it the way he preached, but that's not my gift. I'm not William Branham. But I'm going to preach it the way. Slug it out as it were a brass knuckle. You know, it takes all kinds to make up some kind of a garden, some kind of a nation, some kind of a people. And mine's given to hard, basic logic. Nail it right down. Based on the word of Almighty God. Not pussyfooting. No, sir. Where does that harvest come from? Because, you know, as I said, 6,000 years of humanity is ending right now. This generation shall not pass away. Let's go to Genesis 2nd chapter. Verse 9. God speaking to the original, the founder of all humanity, talking to Adam, made in his image. Out of the ground made the Lord God a great tree that's pleasant to sight and good for food. And the tree of life also amidst the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you eat thereof, dying, thou shalt surely die. Now listen. Let's look at this tree right off the bat. Verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. Did you get it? The trees that were good to eat came out of the ground. Is that right? Then if a tree will kill you, it's not good to eat. Is that right? Then it never came out of the ground. Is that right? Is that right? Did you follow me? Now come on. Not just men, women, put your thinking caps on. It doesn't say women sit here and listen, not listen. You're to hear just as much as the men do and understand this word when a man stands before you teaching it. The Bible said the trees that you eat are good for food and they come out of the ground. If a tree will kill you, it's not good for food. Then it did not come out of the ground. In other words, it's not a tree you can go and pick something off and eat it. It's esoterical. It's written in a mystery. Now notice, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It tells you right there. Now listen, you know as well as I do that God never did make anything evil. No, sir. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. God never made one thing evil. Even the devil was not made evil. When God created evil, that means trouble, toils, problems God allows. But the Bible said there is nothing evil in itself. Then God did not create a tree good and evil. It was good because it was a knowledge of good and evil. So therefore, since everything is good and all knowledge is of God and it's good, therefore this is something perverted. Like I said, sin is lawlessness. Using something contrary to the way in which God ordained it. There's where you get your trees. Sure. Yes, sir. Using something contrary. Let's go to Genesis 3, 1 to 7. Prove it out. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord made. And he said, now he can reason. He can talk. He can be instructed. He's like a human being, but he's not. He's a missing link. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is amidst the garden, God said, you shall not eat it. You shall neither touch it, lest you die. In other words, there was something there that in itself, if you used, could destroy you. In itself was not wrong. Leave it lie there, harmless, perfect. Touch it. Keep your hands off. Don't do it. Now, the Satan said, you shall not surely die. Notice the lie. What's he doing? Denying God's word. You shall not die. Notice, he said, for God doth know, in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the woman sees what I've been telling you. The thing is absolute perfect in itself. There's nothing wrong with it in itself. But the minute man goes to it, problem. Don't leave. Don't do it. Now, here's what you'll do. You'll get away with it at the minute, but you'll suffer according to God's word. Because remember, God's day is 1,000 years, and Adam never lived 1,000 years, and not even Methuselah, who lived 969. Nobody ever lived that day. So therefore, God's day was spoiled, and we're going to get it back in the millennium. And there will not be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because Satan will not be there, and there'll be nothing in man to pervert what God's made. And that's your secret. Perversion. Now what happened? Let's find out in Ezekiel. Now, I can't take the picture serpent seed here because that's not my message. Ezekiel chapter 28. 13 to 15. Thou hast been in Eden. This is Satan. Not the king of Tyrus. He wasn't in Eden. No king of Tyrus was there. Satan was there. And he's in the king of Tyrus. Thou seedest up the sum of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. You've been in Eden. Every precious stone you're covering. And so on. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Who is it? Satan. Were you listening? Okay, men and women both. I'm talking to all of you. What was this anointed cherub that covered? There were two cherubs that covered the mercy seat. And one was Satan. And they guarded the worship of God. They guarded God and the worship of God. And in the mercy seat was over the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark was the Word and the manna and the rod that budded. The Word is the unadulterated Word of God. The manna is the broken Word that the priest and the people eat. And the rod symbolizes the authority of the ministry that God gave. And Satan was over it. And he was anointed. Let me ask you this question. With what was he anointed? The Holy Ghost. Now tell me people can't be anointed the Holy Ghost and be devil-possessed. Now where's your theology gone? Right down the drain. Because you can be devil-possessed and anointed by the Holy Ghost and exercise gifts of the Spirit and go to hell doing it. Judas did it! Judas did it! And the Bible said the devil entered him. And he was casting out devils and healing the sick, just like the other 11. And his name was taken off the book of life. Anointed with the Holy Ghost. I have set thee so. God did it. Who did it to Satan? God did it. Who did it? God did it. Who is it that blinds their eyes at the end time after they turn down the truth? God sends them strong delusion. I said God sends strong delusion. Not the devil. God does it. Okay? Now, let's keep reading. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Listen, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Satan did what he was told not to do. And that's the day iniquity came. Where's your deception today? When God sent a prophet vindicated and they turned him down, then God said, from now on, you're going to be fooled and blinded. Right? Ezekiel 27. Now, I can't read all this, so you take it. From the second verse to verse 36. And with it, I want you to read Revelation 17, 1 to 7. Revelation 18, 1 to 24. Revelation 19 to 21. And there you will see the satanic system in the churches until the people end up worshiping the Antichrist, thinking he's God. And it's all done by organization. Because the churches can only come together through organization. If there were no organization, the churches could not come together. Now, read it for yourself. Now, this is the negative side. The harvest of sin. Now, brother, sister, let's look at the positive side. We go back to Genesis 2 again. And verse 9. And it tells you there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, go to chapter 3 and verse 24. And here's what it said. God drove man out of the garden of Eden. And a flaming a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the tree of life. See? Now with that, Genesis 3 and 15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, it shall bruise thy as in her, and thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, it tells you right here that the tree of life is kept from being eaten. Why? Because if Adam and Eve walked over to it, they'd eat it and live forever in their state. What's going to happen? At the end time, the bride will be right back in her perfect position with Christ, and she'll be allowed to go right to that tree and take immortality and not even die. As all sin came to a headship, so the very righteousness of Christ come. As the Bible said, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is unholy or wicked or unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. Because that word holy is the same thing. He that is holy, he that is righteous, it's the same thing. Because you couldn't be one without the other. Holy means absolutely sanctified and set apart. And brother, sister, that's what the bride is at the last day. She's set apart to go into the millennium without even losing one breath or one step or one heartbeat or one wink of the eyelid. Now, read with the laws if you care to. Revelation 3:21, Revelation 19:1-3, Revelation 19:11-16, and Revelation 22:18-19, which does it all because the bride becomes a perfect bride of the Word. Remember, brother, sister, Eve was not a perfect bride of the Word and can fall. But this bride cannot fall. She will not fall. She's going to go right home to Christ. Amen. That's exactly the Word of God. We know that to be true. Now, let's see what God says about this Laodicean church age. I've been talking about it. Let's just see what the Bible says here in terms of the little message in it. It says here, she's lukewarm. What makes lukewarm? Hot and cold. Right? Okay, what brought sin? Knowledge of good and evil. Here's a church that's just like it was in that tree of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's hot and cold. In other words, there's truth and lie. And this age absolutely has the absolute lie and the absolute truth at the same time. When those seven thunders are revealed and those seven seals are opened, and the Word of God comes back, spiritually revealed to a bride. Brother, sister, the very apex of the truth comes into view, and the same time the very apex of sin, because this is the day when men cannot tell righteousness from wickedness, unless your eyes have been illumined. Now, notice in verse 17 and 18, because thou sayest, notice what the church says about herself, I'm rich, increased with goods, and lack nothing. And God says the opposite. He said, you don't know, but you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, they're deluded. See? The fall caused by Eve, receiving the interpretation of the Word by a source other than the one who gave it, now comes to a complete headship in the church. Notice how far this church has gone. They're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind in the sight of God. But they themselves think, in the eyes of God, that they're rich, increased with goods, and they don't need a thing. That means, brother, sister, they're all ready to make the rapture. Everything is wonderful. We're ready to go. And God says to this church, you're liars. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked. You're blind. You make me sick. I want to vomit. Have you ever seen a man look at a woman and vomit? I never have. I knew a girl who went to school with me, and she went with a man who used to drink a lot. And you know how a drunkard's breath smell, I think, is worse than a hog manure, it's worse. So he belched in her face, and she said, oh, Cordell. She got out of the car, and she vomited all over the whole thing. What? Now listen, that woman vomited because a man blew his rotten, stink breath in her face. How do you think God feels when the church says, I'm rich, I'm full, I don't need a thing, I'm ready to go? And he said, you're nothing but a rock and roll rich. You're rich. You're a prostitute in my sight. You're so filthy. If I didn't send Elijah, I'd just come and destroy the whole bunch of you. Is that when I'd bypass the resurrection? I'd bypass my glory. You realize the bride, the so-called bride at the end time is so absolutely miserable. God said, if I don't send someone to get you out of your miserable, rotten mess, he said, I'll come down here and destroy every one of you. And that's the Bible. Now, I never wrote the Bible, and I'm not going to take it out of there to make people feel good so they can go away in their sins and say, I'm fine. Let's face up to it tonight. God says, I'm rotten, I'm rotten. If God says I'm blind, I'm blind. If God says I'm naked, I'm naked. If God says I'm wretched, I don't feel how good I feel. I'm wretched because God said so. Listen, brother, sister, when God said to Abraham, I have made thee a father of nations, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he staggered not the promise of God's womb. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We do the very same thing tonight. We say what God said. I don't care how it hurts us. Someone said, well, I tell you, if I claimed I was healed by his stripes, I'd be a liar. And you turn right around and say you're beautiful and lovely and everything's fine when God said you're wretched, miserable, and you make him vomit. I've heard a lot of sick things in my day, and the sickest came out of the church. I said the sickest came out of the church. I never heard a sick joke in the mouth of a filthy degenerate that's any sicker than what the church says today. You say, Brother Bale, you're mean. I'm not mean. If God said the church makes him vomit, then there's nothing I can say that's half strong enough to compete with that. Imagine God said that about a church. You say, God's love. Now, what kind of a God is a God of love would say that? Because he is love. Because he is love. Say, Brother Dale, if you had all kinds of love, you wouldn't say those mean things here. I'm only saying what God said. You blame him. You can't get a big club and hit it and say, you're not in very much love. I've got to straighten you up. I'd like to see you do it. You say, now you're being silly. Am I being silly? Who's replying against God? You say, I don't believe it's love. Why did he take those cords and thrash those men? Sure, many people say that's not love. It is love. What about the time that he saw that man at that pool? There he sat. He wasn't so sick he was dying. That man had enough gumption to try to elbow his way into the pool and shove others aside to get there. And he said, I just can't make it. Ooh, he said, I sure tried though. He had enough gumption, brother, sister, to try to get down there. There were many who were worse shaped than he was. And Jesus said, sir, would you like to be healed? How come he didn't heal those lepers out there? If this God is such a God of love, how come he didn't show his love by healing everybody? Because he said, I only do what my Father shows me to do. And God's love. Brother, sister, we can't sell ourselves tonight a bill of goods that we just ignore everything and say everything's fine. God said it's not fine. God says the world's in worse shape than it ever has been or will be, while the church says, oh, it's better than ever. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe God. See? Now notice. God counteracts. Notice what he said he's going to do over here in Acts 3 and 21. He said, I'm going to get you out of this mess somehow. He said, you're in it, but I'll get you out of it. Whom the heaven must receive, Christ must be received, retained, until the restoration of all things, spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. God said, I'm going to restore the word yet. See? He said, you are a mess, but I'm going to restore my word to you. I'm going to send a man to do it. And he does it. He does it by Revelation 10 and 6. 10, 1 to 6, the pillar of fire comes down, as in the days of Moses, as in the days of Paul, and by a prophet brings us the revealed word of God. God restores the word. Now, notice, the people said, we're rich. That word in the Greek is full. The people said, we're full. Now listen to what Jesus said. Woe unto you that are full, you should be hungry. Now listen to me, brother, sister. There is nobody can say that he is full and not run the wrath of God. Nobody. You say, well, I believe this message. I'm full. Showed you don't believe it at all. You thank God that you're being made ready to meet him in the air, but you don't say you're full. Because you're not until that word is fulfilled in you, and then you won't be saying it. It'll be saying it through you. It'll be living it through you. That's when that wedding supper comes, and they'll say, well, we'd like to be in here. Because remember, the man cast out was in outer darkness, which is the great tribulation. Okay? Notice, we're full. Okay? We're increased with good. That means we're wealthy. We don't need a thing. But he said, what you don't know is that you're not. The revelation of God is missing. Now he said, here's what you are. You're wretched. All right? What's the meaning of wretched? Let's go to Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? O wretched man, what's the matter with me? Because I'm in the flesh. I've got a body here. I've got a human body. Long as I'm in this thing, I'm subject to temptation and to trial. He said, oh, wretched man. And I want to tell you, brother, sister, the church is wretched because Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And they're all saying, we're going to be delivered from this body of death. We're going to get changed. But they're not. They're wretched. They will not be delivered. They will go through the tribulation. They're wretched and don't know it. They're not going to miss the tribulation. They're not going to miss the tribulation. Notice also, he said, you're miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What does it mean if you only got hope in this life? You'll never make the resurrection, but you've used Him here to live by Him. Preacher's making a good living. Now, I'm making a good living myself as far as living's concerned. But I want to tell you, I would love to quit preaching if God would let me do it. I didn't ask to preach, I'm not asking now. I fought preaching when I was a kid. I fought preaching a place where I quit, and God almost killed me to make me go back and preach again. I'd quit today if He'd let me quit. Sure, they preach and make a good living. They've got their prestige. Sure, it's fine. They think it's very wonderful. But listen, people also do the same thing. They have used this positive gospel, this giving to get. And I'm not ashamed of doing it. If you do it the right way, to give, as God said, 10% goes to the ministry, pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, and so on. And then, if God stirs your heart, you remember the widows and orphans in your assembly, and also those that may be in destitution in some foreign field. God will let you do it. But I never saw one place where God said, give one dime to radio. You can do it if you want. That's your business. That'll be fine offering. If you want to give to tracts, go ahead. But God said, give the ministry. That was His commandment. We obey it. We follow it. But brother, sister, listen. Today in this positive gospel, so-called, I can pick up magazine after magazine where they write us and they say, it's a shame to be poor. God wants to bless you. And they say, sister so-and-so gave $10 and got back $100. Show me that in the Bible. I can show you where it comes pretty close to it, but doesn't say it. Appealing to people's greed. Listen, brother, sister. If in this life you're healed, many times you can be. If in this life God prospers you, but you miss the living word for your day and don't understand what God's doing in this hour, and you miss that rapture only in this life, have you Christ, and you'll find you've been very miserable in spite of it. If you have Christ only now, you are of all men most miserable when you could have heard the word and gone back to it. Let me read you what Malachi says. You know, Malachi is the same as Revelation 3:14-22. Thou sayest, thou sayest, thou sayest. 24 times in the book of Malachi, I think it is. Now, the third chapter in verse 15. Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Women preachers. Church doing it. Church butting in where God didn't tell it to. People doing God a service apart from His word. Water baptism in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It said, O Lord Jesus Christ, show me one person ever baptized any other way except Lord Jesus Christ. I went to a fundamental Baptist Bible school for 6 weeks, and even they knew that what the apostles did was right. And they said, you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the way the apostles did it, and they couldn't make a mistake. Thank God. Thank God somebody knew something. Showing they must have had more of the Holy Spirit than many persons who talked in tongues and everything else. Then said there were three gods and denied the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul himself said, if anybody ever preaches another Jesus than I'm preaching, let him be accursed. And there was one Jesus, who art thou, Lord? God manifested. Listen, yea, they call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And you know what? in this day and age, with gifts of healing rampant, with mighty miracles in every hand, you can have people being healed left and right. You can have signs and wonders and miss it being off that word, just like Cain, not dividing. Otherwise, why did God say, I'll send an end time man to restore the word? See, what's important about that word? Ask God. Search His word, you'll find out. See? All right. Now, notice, poor, absolutely poverty-stricken, crouching as a beggar with nothing at all, blind. What's that word in the Greek? Heady, high-minded, filled with the smoke of self-conceit. Thou sayest. What man could be so conceited to stand up against a prophet, William Branham? Thus saith the Lord. Just one time only is all that was needed. And God said, hear that man. Hear that man. You know what they said? You know what one man said back in 1958, I think it was, Iowa somewhere, I think it was. Or was it Illinois? I forget. Might have been Bloomfield. I don't know. Might have been Illinois. Might not have been. Might have been Iowa. This man got on the platform and he said, listen, you people. He said, you don't need to believe a puffed-up prophet. He said, believe me. He's the man that went to Rome and said, God is in Rome. It was the breath of spring air. He said, God is going to win the Roman Catholic Church to himself by the charismatic movement and bring revival to the world. And God's own word said the Roman Catholic Church is going to deceive us and bring us all to the lake of fire if we don't come to Christ. Blind. Self-conceit. Brother, sister, I don't care how much I could have studied had I studied. I don't care what degrees I might have had I earned them. I don't care how intellectual I could have been had I turned to intellectualism. I would have had to stand aside with thus saith the Lord. If I had raised every dead man out there to the cemetery was unloaded. If I had gone here and taken every child out of the institution and seen him brought back to health. If I had stood here as though I were God, yet I'd step aside. One time one man had thus saith the Lord. Did they step aside? No. They didn't step aside. So I don't care what I think. It's what he thought. I don't care what my idea is about eternal security, no eternal security. What did the prophet say? That same prophet came back and said, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. And he would have been. Why? Because he was the one man to get to God by the trance and vision and get the answers when and if God wanted them given. He's the one man that had it. Nobody else had it. The one man, nobody else had it. And if he had that ability and told us a lie, then he's a hypocrite. Then what does that make God? What kind of a man did God send? And what kind of a God is it that would put in his word, when you see a man with thus saith the Lord, you hear him, and then give him as a man with thus saith the Lord, back him up, and that man be a hypocrite? What kind of a God is God? No, you can't say that about my God. He's the God of the Word. And when William Branham had thus saith the Lord, that finished it. Oh, what you and I may interpret from it is that's our fault if we go wrong there. But I want to say this. What he said is thus saith the Lord. Hear him and fear him. Now, notice. It says you're naked. That means exposed. They've been exposed and don't know it. The last time I was with Brother Branham in California, he said, you women, he said, I don't want to be bawling you out, but I've got to warn you. You're my sisters. He said, every year I come out here to California, I tell you, don't cut your hair. Don't wear your skirts a certain way. But he said, instead of listening, every time I come back, your hair is shorter and your dresses are shorter. And they said, ha, 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 chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. I could have crawled under that table. I felt so embarrassed for them. I felt so sick. They were so blind that they laughed in the prophet's face. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, exposed, and don't even know it. Exposed and don't know it. Brother, sister, let's face it tonight. I'm not here to judge anybody, but God knows I had better know this word, and so do you. How much Holy Ghost has anybody got who deny the very word of God revealed for this day? How much of Jesus Christ, how much eternal life, where do they stand tonight? You know what the Bible says tonight. There's not one of you can leave this place, though I'm a fast talker, you've got some of it. I'm a very fast talker, but you must have got some by the context. You know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know it, here's the tape. I'll even give you a copy. And you better know. The world in which we live, my brother, my sister, and Brother Branham saw in his vision the church at the end time in America was a naked woman with her buttocks showing. A rock and roll witch. Destitute of every grace and mercy and fine feeling. She was as low as a harlot could get. She was lower than a harlot would get. Because in the days of Jesus Christ, when that harlot was there, she tried to wash his feet with her tears and dry the feet with the hair of her head. But this harlot, with the same signs and wonders, sneered and laughed and went on her way. And if you thought that woman was a rock and roll witch, my brother, my sister, without a real revelation a brother of God to Brother Branham, you're wrong. Because right today, look at the so-called Jesus people, the hippie with their rock and their roll and their drugs and everything else, are in a charismatic movement, talking in tongues and talking about God and everything else today, and the preachers are going for it. Don't say they're not, because I know. I know you won't say they're not, you know yourself. Because they're why? They're right here in Cincinnati, just above us. So-called Jesus people. I'm not saying all are bad. But what is that spirit on those men with that long hair? What is that spirit of women shacking up with men without benefit of clergy? What is the spirit on those kids that are in rebellion? And what is that spirit? It's not God. You know, the devil can quote Bible too. Of course, that hits me too. I could quote Bible and be the devil. Anybody could do it. The point is, what about the revelation this hour? How many even know that God was going to send a prophet? Oh, how men sneer because Brother Branham is that prophet. I have a letter in my possession that a man wrote in Africa. I have never heard such language in my life. Of course, he hates me particularly, though I did him nothing but good for years. Channeled thousands of dollars for him. He lived in my home, and I was a blessing to him. But he accuses me of wanting women so bad he had to phone my wife to get her so that she'd satisfy me. And I lived in the home of a widow for 3-6 solid months, never once went near her. While he himself admitted he had 200 women. And his own son exposed him for living with a 16-year-old girl. But he dares to rise up and say he went to Brother Branham and warned him, and Brother Branham said he was clean. You talk about an ministry, he prophesies, it comes to pass. He's got a great healing ministry. He's got his three gods and his Trinitarian baptism. And I have never known a more abominable character in my life. And his own son said, Dad, you go with that girl and I'll expose you to the whole world. And his dad had to back off. That's written in the book. He accused my wife of having had a dancer from a certain man. Yet he himself admitted that he sent his wife $1,500. She spent it with drunken sailors and whoredom. I'm not being bitter and vindictive. No. You think I can't name names and places of these men with their so-called gifts? They are gifts. You think I can't show this Laodicean church age, brother, sister? If you can't see tonight that Jesus Christ is just around that corner, if you can't see the 6,000 years of fled blind, this is the end of it, then you're blind tonight, and I'm blind. But we're going to root awakening pretty soon. We'll get a root awakening pretty soon.
Sure.
We'll be up in the tribulation. That's where we'll end up at. Yeah. Then we'll die for our faith in God. I'm not trying to scare you, just telling you the truth. If I die tonight, there's one thing I know. I have preached this sermon word for word, the best I can, exactly as the prophet taught it. I've certainly, as far as I'm concerned, washed my hands of the blood of anybody here or anybody else. Not that I'm glad to do it. It's just part of my life. That's what I'm called to do. To teach the word. And this is that word of that hour. Now, he said, come to me for gold and raiment and eye salve. Now, it means they don't have one of the three. They have none of the three. They don't have the gold, they don't have the raiment, they don't have the eye salve. Now, what's the gold? Now, you know the gold is a trial of your faith. Shall the Son of Man find faith when he comes? There is only one true faith, and that's the revelation. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and hearing is a revelation. Raiment, they don't have it. Oh, they talk about the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, they do. Isn't it funny how everybody talks about the blood? Jesus died upon Calvary. So what? What did it do for Judas? I'm not saying so what, as though the blood doesn't mean a thing. I'm saying so what to the people who say they can hide behind the blood without the word of God. Exactly. I'm leaning on the blood. So was Israel. When 2 million walked out, and 2 out of the 2 million made it, there were over 20. They all had the blood. Every home had the blood. But they died in unbelief, cursed to God. Now where's your sacrifice? Don't talk to me about a sacrifice and deny the word of God for the hour. Don't talk to me about a sacrifice of women filling the pulpits. Talk about that sacrifice. Don't talk to me about a sacrifice claiming there's three gods when there's only one. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't talk to me about divine healing and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and by His Christ we're healed when my Bible says the wicked will be delivered and the proud set up. Talk to me about the sacrifice of my brother and my sister on the grounds of the word, the bleeding word died. Talk to me about that sacrifice on the grounds that same word maketh intercession. Talk to me about that sacrifice on the grounds that that very word is the intermediator. Talk to me about that word and I'll listen. But don't talk to me about a sacrifice and then bypass the word of God. That sacrifice must line up with the word of God. And the word of God aligned with the sacrifice, then might men talk. Answer me this question. Show me one place in the Bible where the blood was ever applied to the doorpost before that chapter in Exodus when God said apply it to the doorpost. The blood was never applied to the doorpost. The blood was shed but never applied to a doorpost. Moses came with the word of his hour. So it is, my brother, my sister. The blood has been shed, but the revelation of the blood to this age never came forth till the prophet brought it forth. And then he said, Jesus is that blood of God. Then he said, the blood that went to the word that was that blood is now gone to the word again. You can't bypass this, the word of Jesus Christ and make the sacrifice live. You can't bypass God and still have God. God is the word and the word is God. What did Israel do? They had a sacrifice. They had the hour of the day was theirs because they were the so-called elect of God. To them was given the word of God. To them was the adoption. And read Romans 9, the first 3 or 4 verses there. You'll find what God had given them. And they missed it all. Sure. Talk about the blood, brother, sister. Nothing but the blood. I grant you that. I understand that. I see it perfectly. But how can we talk about the blood of the Redeemer and turn down the revealed word of the hour? Remember what the prophet said concerning that. Remember their covenant was circumcision. And the man could have said, listen, I have absolutely been circumcised. I have absolutely proof that I am that Hebrew. And they said, put that blood on the doorpost. The prophet said, find that virgin who's got the character to listen to the word. Find her and have her stand still long enough to wash her in the waters of separation by the word to get her ready for the rapture. Oh, sure, we're different, brother, sister. We'll be called a cult. They'll be saying, well, why aren't you producing it? Produce what? I'm not here to make a test. The test was made. 300 Pentecostal preachers withstood Brother Branham in Chicago. 300. They did. They were there, and they would have been destroyed, except God warned the brother. He said, don't, just leave him be. I'll be with you. Not one dared bring his Bible forward. Had I been there, I'd have said, Brother Branham, let me come forward. Not to argue. I want to be shown because you can show me. Did they do it? The man with thus said, Lord, I sat in his presence hour after hour. Time after time, I saw. I said, Brother Branham, what does this mean? What's this? What's this? What's this? Pull out of my pocket my purse. It didn't have any money, but it sure had questions.
All my preacher friends. Lady, when you see Brother Branham, ask her. Say, write it down here, write it down. Say, Brother Branham, so-and-so wants to know this. Brother Branham, so-and-so wants to know that. You know, I'm not very smart and intelligent, and I'm not even humble, I don't suppose. But for like me, I can't see. When you see a man like William Branham that you know, and you know that he's got what nobody else has got, and you know that he can prove it by God backing up that he's got it, that you simply can't say, Brother Branham, what does this mean? Right. Now listen, if I were in his boots tonight and had his ministry so that I was that tithe post that you could come to, you know what? I wouldn't get mad at you if you didn't come. But if you came and said, Brother Dale, what does this mean? And I knew that I knew because I had that office before God. I would be so in love with you for coming. Where would you be coming? Not to Lee Dale, but to God. Because I couldn't tell you anything. It would be the office doing it. Not the officer, but the office. God. Moving. In this particular way. But they didn't do it. Laodicean Church Age, he said, you haven't got ISAB. The King James Version puts it wrong. It sounds like you got the ISAB. The Bible says you don't have the ISAB. Come to me and get it. They say, well, I'm baptized the Holy Ghost. No, brother, sister. Judas was anointed. Balaam was anointed. The devil was anointed. And anybody can get anointed because God said, in the last day, I'll pour my spirit upon A-double-L flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and on my men servants, and on my women servants. Two groups of people. I don't care. You say, Brother Bell, could there be a spinning reprobate coming to this building tonight? My Bible said, let three people meet in the name of Jesus Christ, and he's there in the midst. It doesn't say he's indwelling them. It says he's there in the midst. Let a core of Dathan and Abiram rise to absolutely insult the revealed word of God and to stand upon a gift ministry. God will back them up. They'll have a gift ministry. But the fire came and destroyed them. Certainly. We're living in perilous days, brother, sister. The fire is soon going to tell. Because the Bible said he's coming to gather the wheat but burn up the chaff. How close can you get to the wheat? Chaff. How close does the chaff look like the wheat? Almost identical. Almost identical. What's the test, brother, sister? It's the word test. Now listen, the Bible says anoint your eyes. That word anoint means to rub in and besmear. It says ISAB. What is ISAB? ISAB is a poultice. What is the brother Branham said? The eyes are infected, not even knowing the Greek, said they're infected. Brother Branham didn't know the Greek. He never had access to the kind of books I've got. No. No, sirree, he did not. I know his library. He never looked it up. But when he said the church has a cold wind in her eye, like he said when we were little kids when I slept in the loft, and the wind blew through, he said, the eyes got full of matter, and my mother took that old coon grease hot and rubbed it in. He said, the church needs its infected eyes rubbed with coon grease, so to speak. Now listen, the Greek says poultice. P-O-U-L-T-I-C-E, and a poultice is made out of cracker crumbs. What are cracker crumbs? Broken crackers. What's a cracker? The Word of God. The church needs to rub the broken Word of God in her eyes. Say, oh, that hurt. Let it hurt. What kind of a baby are you? What makes you think you know something? I don't know anything. And if I don't know anything, I know you don't know anything. I'm not being proud. That's just a statement of fact. Because I'm up here teaching you, and if you feel you need teaching, and I'm the teacher, then I know more than you do. And I know nothing. Poultice. Cracker crumb. The broken word of God. What is it to do? It is to open the eyes. Why will it open the eyes? Because the eyes are blinded by the creeds and dogmas. They are blinded through the Laodicean, the Nicolaitan age, and the Laodicean concept. It's all there. Blinding the eyes of the people. Now listen. It says here, you do it. It doesn't say someone's going to do it for you. See? Now listen, I can liken that tonight very easily. Some say, well, give me a sign, Lord, and I'll do it. You know people die for that? People die in sin for that. That's why the Bible said they died in the wilderness, because they wanted their own sign. The sign for this day is, thus saith the Lord. Now, whatever he says, you rub in your eyes. Oh, that means I got to go back and confess that my baptism was wrong. Because I was baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's right, you got to go back and say, I'm wrong. You got to get over again. You say, well, I believe there's three gods. Rub some more cracker crumbs in. There's one God. Well, I just can't see such a thing as election. Rub some more cracker crumbs in. It's in the Bible. Keep rubbing it in. Sure. You know what? I don't mean this as a joke, but it's a true thing that the Chinese are very strong on nature cures. And my brother-in-law knew a Chinaman in Cowley, Alberta, who was going blind, cataracts. So one day he went out and caught a skunk and infuriated him, and the skunk blew him in both eyes. The Chinaman rolled in the dust in agony for about an hour, and several days later there was all red and the skin peeling, and he said it felt like his eyes were full of gravel, but after a few days his sight was normal and the cataracts gone. Now, if a Chinaman going blind has got enough brains to let a skunk do that, then where's our brains when we see a vindicated prophet and refuse to apply the cracker crumbs because it hurts a little bit? What's it hurting, I pray? Folk, tonight I'm so glad that a prophet came my way. I'm so glad that tonight I know that I know where my faith is. There's no more worries and no more conflicts. Oh, I could take one thing he said here and one thing he said there and try to make some big thing out of it as though we're all crossed up. But I don't do that. I'll just wait a while, because what he said there refers to one thing. What he says over here refers to another. And as the Holy Spirit brings them together, I'll know exactly what he's saying. And it never fails. Never fails. Why? Because, listen, the Bible said, I'm going to send you that man. And he sent him. So we stand tonight with the anointed eye. Now, notice, he said here, the message to the Laodicean church is repentance. Now, repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. All right, read it again. Not one time does he say that we love him. You know, many people in this message, they say, well, I don't love the Lord the way I ought to. Thank God, at least you're one of those. And no, you don't. The rest of them think they do. That's right. Oh, how they talk about his love. And how they talk about this and that. And how they glorify the Lord. And they say, you're the deadest ones in the world. Go ahead, call me what you want. I'm living right with his word. He never said I loved him. We never loved him when he came to us. He loved us. He never says we love him now. He says as many as I love. I, in spite of our rottenness, there's a little seed there and he's going to get it out of this world. And he said, I love you. And he said, I'm going to do, I'm going to rebuke you, I'm going to chasten you. Now he said, there's just one thing I want you to do, that's repent. Now what's repent? Get down and grovel on your face. Oh God, oh God, oh God. That's what they're doing out there in the church. The word repent in the Greek means change your mind. Change your mind. Think this thing through. Don't give way to your feelings. Don't give way to emotion. Go to that word and see if what the prophet said was right. And he is that prophet. And stick with that word and change your mind over every single thing that's in conflict with what he said. Don't you ask him to change his. You change your mind. You say, he says, water baptism, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Bring on the water. Here I come. He said, there's one God. You say, hallelujah. From now on, one God. He didn't say if you'd explain it and understand it. He said, believe it. You take it in your mind and you hold it there till God reveals it. You say, well, I never did believe in eternal security. Eternal security for every true believer. Take it and stick with it. Reprobation. Believe it. No tongue's evidence. Trust it. You're not asked to think. You're asked to change your mind. Why? Because God loves you. Doesn't say you love God. What do you love? You love the truth. Brother, sister, you couldn't change that mind unless you loved that truth. And furthermore, if you weren't one of God, you couldn't even change your mind. Because God grants repentance. See, oh, how God loves us to grant repentance. Oh, how God loved me to let me have this word. Oh, Brother Vail, if I only had those great gifts and I'd go and win the world to Jesus, you wouldn't win the world to Jesus. You take him to the Antichrist. You can't do without this word. Brother Branham said, if he is that prophet, and brother, sister, get this and get it straight. Brother Branham said, nothing will come to life outside of this message. Amen. Do you believe he was God's prophet? Amen. Well, can you swallow that one? Amen. Can you take and say, I'll rest on it? Or do you want to fight and feel bad? Why feel bad if God says a thing? You should feel good. Amen. Let's not try to be bigger than God. Let's not try to out God God with our own ideas. Pardon me, let's stay with God. Now, anoint. Because you can't see the other word. Repent. And what's he saying? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice. What's the voice? The seven church age messengers in seven ages. When John turned to see the voice, he saw one, he saw the church, then he saw Christ with seven messengers. Seven messengers in seven church ages is the voice of God to the people. Behold! William Branham stood at the door. And the word of God knocked. The voice of God to this generation came by a man. It has to. It has to. Ever since Jesus Christ went away, the voice has to come by a man. And that voice is in the bride. Now, the word was put out of the church. Every table full of vomit. And God sent a prophet knocking at our door. He said, I want to come in. What come in? The word. Now, brother, sister, when that word comes in, remember, some other word has got to go out. Because if the pure word were already in there, he could not be knocking for admittance. He'd been there shouting because he's in there. Now he's knocking. What's holding him out? Creeds and dogmas. The more Christ comes in, the more creeds and dogmas go until that bride becomes a virgin of his word and she's ready for the tree of life. She's ready for the rapture. And then, brother, sister, she becomes that word and she has thus saith the Lord because she knows what to do with that word. Why? Because she is the word. There you're going to see something revealed. You say, what is it? I don't know. You know what? I think it's a pretty nosy kid that rips the covers off his present just to find out what they're supposed to wait for till Christmas or the birthday. I'm not even trying to find out anything. I just wait. And if I'm really seen and really that word in flesh, then this flesh will become word. And brother, sister, I don't need to rip the covers off anything. But I'll be that uncovered, revealed word in my day. I don't need to worry looking. I'm not looking ahead. I'm looking right now. As Brother Branham said, oh, everything conspires against us to take us away from this word. May we dedicate ourselves to it. So there you see it, brother, sits on the Laodicean complex in this age. An age in anarchy against the word of God. That's right. Did the word come restored? It did. Did they turn it down? They did. They'll keep on singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's right. That's right. But supposing the blood is not applied to the lintels and doorposts, won't do you any good. See, I'm the most circumcised Jew of the bunch. Put the blood in the doorpost. See, that's the word telling you how to serve God. So I'm going to serve God with your creeds and dogmas. Didn't he say to those Pharisees, you circumnavigate the entire globe to make a child, a twofold child of hell worse than yourself? Sure. You know why? These old Pharisees taught that new convert all their tricks and he learned some of his own. They'll do it every time. Sure. Laodicea. People's rights. Church rising up against God. That's right. Nicolaitans, Laodiceans getting together. God sending a prophet. Many of them are turning that prophet down. Why? Because they're heady, high-minded. Lovers of their pleasure. They took pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. They took pleasure in their own form of worship, which was denied by God because it was outside the Word. Oh, I know, brother, sister, this can sound so still, it can sound so flat. I know it can sound, we're just like a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists or anybody else, or a bunch of dead Baptists praying upon Word, Word, Word. But I got news for you, brother, sister, because the Holy Ghost is going to fire on this fire and bring it up. Hallelujah. Not some dead creature dogma do we preach, but it's the Word of the living God, absolutely proven by a vindicated prophet. And the Holy Ghost is fawning on it till one day we rise in a rapture. Amen. You believe it?
Yes.
That's exactly what the prophet taught. I'm glad. I'm glad I'm in this day, brother, sister. Maybe skin worms won't eat this flesh of mine. I hope not. I hope not. I hope I can go on to glorification standing here. But it may be my lot to die. It may be that they'll kill me. I don't know. That's up to them. I know one thing, if I can be as lied about and hated by people that I've done good to, oh, brother, they'll sure knock me for a loop. Those that I haven't done a good thing for, or anything for. And I got news, they'll do the same for you. But the Word says if you have to go from city to city, and you stand before a magistrate, don't wonder what you're going to say, because your Father be in you, and He'll be telling you what to say in that very hour, because it's not you that speak but God. Oh, that's wonderful. That's not said to anybody else but a bride, brother, sister. And the prophets that I've been called to bring a bride. Oh, no wonder He told us just love each other. It's a tragic thing today that we do fuss at each other because some have gone so far away from it. But oh, brother, sister, the big thing is this, remember, if they're only adding to it, there's hope. But when they take away, there's eternal death. Oh, they may say He was Jesus Christ. Pray for them. But as Brother Branham said, don't unchristianize them. They could come up in that resurrection. I don't know. That's up to God. But what about those that turned Him down? They took away Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Did they? They took away Brother Branham. Listen, if he was Malachi 4, 5, and 6, they took away Malachi 4, and 6. You say, well, they didn't take it away. They did, because that refers to a man. That's not a word, that's a man. Bill Jones isn't a word, it's a man. So is Elijah. That's not the Word of God. That's the man of God. That Word of the hour manifest in flesh. Sure. They take it away. All right, the Lord bless you. This may not be a kind of a preaching service that you follow communion, yet maybe it is. Maybe it's a good communion night. We're all drinking in one word. That's right. Remember that wine is the stimulation of revelation. Right. Now, I don't know how stimulated I am, but I know I am. I don't have to shout and jump, bless God. I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. If I had $1,000 in my purse, crying would not lessen it, and jumping up and down would not make it more. Now, if I have that word, then I got the word. Whether I'm going to jump up and down and laugh, or sit down and cry, I have the word. So tonight, we might not feel extra exuberant, then we may feel very exuberant. Doesn't matter, we have the Word. We're partaking of that emblem of shed blood. And remember, the Word became flesh, and Christ is the blood of God. We are remembering His death, the very life that was shed to come back upon us. We remember His broken body, which symbolizes that He became a man, took upon Himself the full humility and humiliation and degradation of mankind, and died for suffering. And we enter into His suffering. None of us are suffering too much. May God help us. When the squeeze come down, because it's got to come down, because there's suffering there. Chastening is coming. May we rejoice with joy being full of glory. May we partake tonight in emblems, and tomorrow partake in reality. So that one day we'll sit anew in His kingdom. Amen. The Lord bless you. Shall we just rise at this time then? Together? And who's it? Brother Tommy and Brother Marvin, you officiate with this? Well, they hear, that's right. Well, I'll pray and all, but you come right up here and you take the, one of you take the bread and one of you take the wine. That's fine. Now, I don't think it's necessary to, it won't be necessary to hold the bread till we all partake together because the cup is one cup. So we just, as the bread's passed you, if you partake, please, this will be fine. Okay? Shall we just pray? Gracious God, eternal Father, we're standing here now, Lord, at the end of this message. Now, Lord, I couldn't commend myself to the people as though I were somebody, nor though my spirit, Lord, were something great. For truly, Lord, I am nothing, and my spirit, Lord, might not be as ardent as it ought to be. But, oh God, there's one thing I know, that this word, Lord, lines up with the vindicated prophet. May the people not miss it. May they believe it and put aside every thought and bring every thought into captivity to Christ until there is nothing left but that word. And then may that word take over and be lived through the very people. Pour thy spirit upon the word tonight, O God. Lord, now as we partake of the emblem of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I pray thee, O God, in the name of Jesus, that it may become reality to us. This which is a shadow become the very substance. Let people be healed, Lord, who need healing in their body. Let people, Lord, get victory who need victory in their lives. Let the reality of the emblem, the shadow, become substance this very hour. And we shall ascribe the glory to thee in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother, the emblem is broken bone and be shed blood. Shall we just remain in an attitude of prayer while the brethren pass you by? Or is it better to sit down, is it? Or do they come forward? Why don't you just come forward and pass by? This will be simpler. Just from this side here, Sister and Brother Davis, you come along. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear our humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We know, Lord, thou art here. Hear, Lord Jesus, in the midst. That's been guaranteed in the end time. The Lord, here in the presence of thy spirit indwelling. This also is guaranteed. True baptism with the Holy Ghost. Lord, if there be one rejecting thee, I pray they shall not. Lord, don't let one of us reject anything.